بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. As usual, we have to remind ourselves and our brothers about the case we are studying or learning or talking about, that whatever we are talking about in this book or these messages, five messages that we said before, is the case of monotheism. And don't you ever feel that it is too much to talk about monotheism this way. No. It is the case of monotheism that really will direct all our life to the correct way, by the way. يعني Salah and Sawm and Hajj and Zakat, these four pillars which came after Shahadatain, the first pillar, all depends on the first pillar, which is Tawheed or monotheism. Tawheed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His Rububiyyah and Uluhiyyah and names and qualities. And Tawheed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the following. We have to have both of them. And we remember that what Allah told us in the end of Surah Al-Kahf. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ لِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Two conditions. عمل must be صالح. Means must be in the right way. صالح in here is the one which, the عمل which is done or told by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. This is the monotheism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only one deserves to be worshipped. We finished these two messages before the four matters, then the three matters. Tonight we will come to the major case and major message, which is called the three fundamentals actually. And these three fundamentals actually is very important for us to know and practice. Because it is the case that every Muslim really needs to know when he gets into his grave. And knowledge is not enough. Yani if a person knows these three things, just the knowledge, or write it in a paper and take it with him to the grave, this will not answer the two angels who come to ask him about these three cases he is going to be asked in the grave, as we will see inshallah. So who will answer those two angels with the true or correct answer? Those ones who have practiced this, or these three cases we'll talk about now, inshallah. Yes, brother.
The three fundamental principles. If you are asked regarding the three fundamental principles which every Muslim should know, we should reply that the slave knows his Lord, his religion, Islam, and his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. This is only almost a line and a half, the answer. And Sheikh here, he used some of these techniques of teaching by dropping a question. From where he got this technique? From Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to drop a question to attract the attention of the person who is listening. As he said to Ibn Abbas once when he was riding a donkey, and Ibn Abbas was behind him and he asked him the question, then Ibn Abbas was ready to hear the answer, then he gave him the answer. And he did this a lot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Shaykh in here, he is trying to do the same way. To attract the attention of the person, he gives the question. So if you have been asked such and such, what will you answer? You will answer this and this and this. So he is giving you the question before the answer, so it will be more deep on your mind. Every Muslim who reads this or studies, it will be easy for him to remember when he remembers the question also. So these three fundamentals, what is the importance of them? Okay, as we said in here, that these questions exactly are the questions that are going to be asked in the grave also, as in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's narrated by Al-Bukhari Muslim, Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu was with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they went to the cemetery or graveyard. With one Sahabi died, so they wanted to bury him, but the grave was not ready. So Muhammad Hassan sat down with a stick with him, he's knocking on earth, and he started to tell them what will happen to a person when from the beginning of his dying case until he is buried and asked. So he gave him a complete story. So part of it, our case in here, he said that these two angels will come and ask him these three questions. Who is your Lord? Who who, what your being, and who, what do you say about this person who was sent to you? For a Muslim, a true Muslim, may Allah Ta'ala make us all like this, he will answer easily, because he is practicing this in his life. Yeah, it's not the case of that he will get a paper with him, when they come and he will look to the paper and they answer the angels. That's impossible, of course. The only ones who will answer correctly is those ones who have practiced these things on their life. Then they will be easy for them to say, my Lord is Allah, and my deen is Islam, and this Muhammad is my messenger. Easily. Just because they have practiced in their life. They were true Muslims in their life. Yes.
The first fundamental principle, the knowledge of the Lord. If you are asked, who is your Lord? You should reply, my Lord is Allah. The one who nurtured me and all that exists with his bounty. He is my deity. I have no deity other than him. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means, all the praises and thanks be to Allah, the Lord of Alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exists.
The case of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe we've been through it last few weeks, but actually, to say the truth, that no Muslim, in fact, no person in this life, will be a true Muslim, will not accept Islam, will accept Islam only if he knows the greatness of Allah. No Muslim will be a good Muslim unless he knows how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that cannot be unless he dig into the Holy Quran and dig into the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only just read it. Some Muslims, those good Muslims only recite Holy Quran. Note this point. I'm talking about good Muslims. They only recite Holy Quran. Good, they have finished Quran within 30 days. So they will not be, they will make the mistake of Hajr al-Quran. Hajr al-Quran means forgetting the Quran. Now, to ask yourself, how many Muslims now are reciting the Holy Quran in 1 month? Or finalizing the Quran in 1 month? Subhanallah. Now, we're not talking about reciting the Holy Quran, we're talking about also digging into it, understanding Quran and practicing it in life. So, how will we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord? We will know it, okay, Allah is Allah. Is that enough? You ask someone, do you know Allah? Yes, of course I know Allah. He is Allah. Allah is a good answer. What do you mean Allah is Allah? Allah is not Allah. But give me, what I'm talking about, who is your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created everything? We have to know him subhanahu wa ta'ala, clear understanding of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know him? The best one to tell us about him is he subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told us about himself in his Holy Quran, that he is Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim, Al-Qawi, Al-Jabbar, and so on. He described himself subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him subhanahu wa ta'ala in his Sunnah. So how do we know our Lord? Unless we know the Quran and Sunnah. Unless we study them, unless we dig into them to learn and understand. If we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will love him. We will love him because he deserves to be loved subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just ask yourself, who gave you? Who gave you these two eyes to see? Who gave you the ear to hear? Who gave you the heart to beat? Who gave you these legs to walk? Who gave you all these graces you have now in your body? Who gave you the graces in your life? Your children, your money, your... Who? Subhanallah al-Azim. He is the one. How much you paid for that? Nothing. He gave it to you free, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you love that? I said before that if... imagine that one rich man, he gave you a new car. Huh? Cost 120,000 riyals. Wallahi. Number one. Mumtaz. Fantastic, this person, Isha. Allah, free car? Wallahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us every grace we have. Every grace we have in our life, in our bodies, in our houses, is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Every ni'mah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't he deserve to be what? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, if you see now, all these human beings around you, we direct you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this sky. Look at this space around you. Look at this stars. Look at, subhanAllah, unbelievable. When you read about the space, you will be amazed. How wide is that space? How many of this, subhanAllah, this earth, in fact, equals nothing if you count it or if you compare it to the whole universe. It's nothing. This earth, which we full of people, equals nothing. There is hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describing this earth to the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kursi, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, is the place where Allah put his feet subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he compares the kursi to al-arsh where he sits subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, all the, yani the meaning of the hadith is, all the earth, all the skies, seven skies, plus all the seven earths, comparing to the kursi, which is the place for feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a ring thrown in the desert. And this kursi, comparing to arsh, al-arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like another ring thrown in the desert. Now imagine how much is this earth or this solar system according to this? Nothing. How much is us according to this? Nothing. Still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nice with us and He's giving us all these graces and He subhanahu wa ta'ala treating us fantastic. Subhanahu wa ta'ala ma akram. Doesn't He deserve to be loved? To love Him, that's for sure. It's a must. But another case to love for Him, for His sake. To hate for His sake. This is part of wala and barab. How could a person with all these graces on him will love the enemies of Allah? Can that possible? Subhanallah, that's impossible. How a person who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he has all these graces from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love awliya Allah, the people, the good people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to love. So we love Allah for His own sake. And we love whatever else for Allah's sake also. Yani Allah, we love Him just for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whoever other Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love Him for Allah's sake, including Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's a very important point for Muslims, they make mistake in it. We love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Allah's sake, not for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he is a human being, yes. But he is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love Him more than any other person, yes. Even more than our parents and children and ourselves even. As Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than my children and my parents and everybody, except myself. He said, no, this is not love. And tell you, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than everything, including myself. He said, now, Umar, now, yes, now. Now you love me. So we should, we must love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than even ourselves. But we love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for what? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who is loved just for Him only is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because every ni'mah you have in you is from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true knowledge, the true known, when we know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, then we will love Him. And also we will be afraid of Him. Because He is capable of making us happy or unhappy. He is capable of putting us in happiness in life and happiness in judgment day or vice versa. And the one who is capable of this supposed to be afraid of. Although we love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are also afraid of Him. When we see how He did with the people who rejected His messages, like Nuh people, like Hud people, like Ad and the other nations who rejected the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He do to them? Subhanallah. He sent the water on the Nuh people until they died all. Only the people left with the people who left, who ride on the ship with Nuh alayhi salam. The rest are finished. He sent the voice of Sayha. He sent one of His angels to carry all Lut for all Lut people, all Lut nation, one wing to carry four towns until, and raise them up until the angels on the sky have their dogs voices. And they put them down. He is capable. He is jabbar. He is capable of whatever He wants to do, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if people wanted to give you a warning and say, we will do this and this to you, you know they cannot do it unless Allah wants. But if He wants, nobody can stop Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who will stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He wants to put a person in hellfire or to give a person hard time in life or smash him? Or nobody can. So, a one like this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be really loved, also be afraid of. that actually in the our life, love and hoping the mercy of Allah and afraid of His anger is like the head of the bird and two wings. A bird cannot fly without a head, cannot fly with two wings. If he loses one wing, he will lose. He will fall down on the earth and he will be eaten by some other animals. So the head is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first wing is the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will be mercy with us. The second wing is the afraidness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of them have to be in the heart. So when we know Allah, the true knowledge, then we will be true Muslims, because we will be afraid of Him, we will love Him, we will hope that He will be in mercy with us. Will be merciful with us. That is very important case. That's why we say that, you know when we say fundamental? What's fundamental? The foundation, the basis of a thing. You cannot build a house without basis. And this is the basis of Islam. One of the basis, which is the best basis, is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know His capabilities. To know how He did this, what He did to the nations who rejected His message. To know what He did to these people who follow His messenger. How He gave them the victory in life and after death. How He promised them to put them in Jannah and to save them from hellfire. And He is capable of doing subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first one of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
All that exists except Allah is alam. Similar of alam. And I am one of the alam.
I think there's a mistake in there.
If you are asked how have you come to know your Lord, He should reply, through His signs and creation such as the day and night, the sun and moon, the seven layers of sky and the seven layers of earth, as well as what they contain and what they exist between them. The evidence for this is saying of Allah, which means, and from among His signs are the night and day, and the sun and the moon. Prostrate yourself not to the sun or to the moon, but prostrate yourself to Allah, who created them, if you really worship. He also said, indeed, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And then He, Istawa, implies rose over the throne in a manner that befits His majesty. He brings the night as a cover over the day, seeking it rapidly, and the sun, the moon, the stars subject to His command. Surely, this is the creation and the commandment. Blessed is Allah, the Lord of Alameen. Al-Araf 54.
After knowing the importance of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, to glorify Him, to love Him, to be afraid of Him, to hope His mercy, comes the question, how do I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani, what are the ways makes me know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As Shaykh said in here, there's two ways to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, you cannot think of Allah Himself, because there's a clear hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not think of Allah Himself, but think of His signs. Think of His signs, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you mean by signs? Signs are two cases. Signs of creations and signs of scriptures, Quran and Sunnah. Signs of creation, like what? Like sun, like the moon, like earth, like your body, your kidneys, your eyes. As Allah tells in the Holy Quran, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Yani, camels, how are they created? And so on. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Yani, look at yourself. These are signs of Allah. Everything in this life is redirecting us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see the work of the kidney, as an example, how does it work? It takes the blood, clears it out from the dirt, and sends the dirt to urine, as a urine. Who can do this? Did you do it by yourself? Are you supervising this action? No way, we cannot do it. But who made this on you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this will direct you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An Arabian Bedouin who lived in the desert was asked, how did you know Allah? He said, "What the camel leaves out will let me know that there's a camel in here." And if you find something after the camel he throw out, from the back, of course, then you will know there was a camel in here. Okay? And the stiff foot will tell me that there are somebody walking here. There was someone walking here. All these sky and stars will direct me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever you look to yourself, inside or outside, when you look to this universe, when you look to this small thing, now look at this virus called AIDS, HTLV. Subhanallah al-Azim. That virus cannot be seen by regular eye unless it's magnified 300,000 times. Imagine, how small is it? Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this soldier of him to destroy those people who fall into drugs or fall into bad action like those people did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this specially for these people, subhanallah. Yani you find usually it starts with these people. Those people, Rock Hudson, an American famous actor. He was, of course. But he was a bad person who goes in the back and go with youngsters, boys, and do the loot people action. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw him with this. He spent a lot of money to be cured from this sickness he had now. Up to now they cannot find a medicine for this AIDS. So many people, why? See how small is this? But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this soldier, he destroyed a lot of bad people like this. When you look at these things, you think of Allah. This is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the sun and the moon. Some people say, Shaykh, sun and the moon, we see it every day. Yes, you see it every day. That's the bad point of it. That people, they think, it must be a sun tomorrow. It must be a moon tomorrow. It's not must. Just because it's coming every day, doesn't mean that it's going to continue always. Now ask yourself, how these two signs, sun and the moon, come in the same place, same time, every year, the same time, comes from the same place and the same time. How come? By itself, cannot be. As you remember, the space, what you call him, Gagarin, Yuri Gagarin, the Russian astronaut. Yes, he went to the with the first one, and when he's out of Earth atmosphere, everything is black, and he saw all of these stars. Of course, he was a communist. He doesn't believe in any God. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him admit that, he said, all of these cannot be by itself. There has to be one who is controlling it. So when we see these things in different way, different angle, different place, then we understand how great are these things. If these are great things, then all about the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. So this is one case of the science, and we gave an example of these rats from the northern Europe area when they come to the south of Italy to die in there and so on, and these birds which is flying on top of each until they reach. Who told them this? Who taught them this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created them. الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. This is one side of the science. There's another side of the science, which is the Quran and Sunnah. Sign here is ayah. Sign is ayah. Ayah, ayatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs of Allah is even in the Holy Quran and Sunnah. You can see some of these ayahs, no one can say that it's done by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we gave you an example of that ayah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the kafirin. أو كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات إذا فوق بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها. And we gave an example. We said, we explained this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the kafirin are in darkness. Not a physical darkness, it's in heart darkness. And Allah gave us the description of this darkness, that like a person in the bottom of the sea, where are there waves on top of waves? Waves on top of waves on top of waves, and on top of them all clouds. Now before, nobody knew that there were waves inside the water. We know that the waves are on top of the surface of the water, right? Now, in Holy Quran, Allah telling us that there are waves also inside the water. That waves, what does it do with the light? Breaks it, right? So, breaking here, three, four waves on top of each, then no water, no light in the bottom or underneath of the ocean. So that's why there are fish, but without eyes. Because they don't need them. It's all in total darkness. Now, who told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this? A person who never been in the sea, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now they discovered, as they say in the 19th century or 20th century, that there are waves on top of waves on the ocean. They discovered, poor people. Allah told us this 1,400 years ago. And so on. There you will find a lot of signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Holy Quran. One of the major signs also in the Holy Quran and Sunnah is the system that Allah gave the people to live. The social system. The economic system. All of these and more. When the people who majored on these cases, they studied in Holy Quran, they are so amazed how this system is done. And they try to take some of them to put them in their system. American laws or European laws or French or Swiss or this or that laws. These laws made by what? By the human being. They are weak. You always can find a way to go through. A fantastic lawyer can run behind or run around these laws and find a way to take a person who has already killed so many persons. He's okay now. With this playing around with the laws, he can take him out of all the things for money. So he can kill and he goes out with that. But in Islam, he cannot. In fact, he will not kill because he knows the end of this. And there was a joke. They said one Arabian, I don't want to say where from where he brought his wife, and his wife was not okay. When he came to Riyadh, first of all, he took her to the place where they used to hit and kill the people who have killed or the people who made zina. They throw them rocks in front of the others. As Allah told in the Holy Quran. So he took her in there and said, listen, if you do this, you will... So the lady put everything black, huh? She was afraid that she... Okay, when we have this called hudud, it's practiced among our life, you will not find peace. You will not find people who drink alcohol. You will not find people who go for zina. Why? Because there are strong hudud or punishment in Islam. Are they savage? A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. The one who made it is the one who knows about us better than any of us. That's why in this country, long time ago especially, we hardly hear about a crime. We hardly hear about crime. The shops, they put only like a curtain on top and go for salah. Everyone can open it and take, but nobody takes. Why? Because people, they are good at least. Most of them are good. Those bad ones, they cannot do it because they know it. They will lose their hands. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Imagine this ayah, think of it. To kill is life. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ, killing or cutting. حَيَاة, life. How is this? He is talking about the society. If you kill one person, the whole society will be alive. Because nobody will go and kill or steal or do this. Of course, will the faith on fire first of all? When he brings faith into the Muslims, into the hearts of the Muslims, they will be good. But there will be also some bad Muslims around, right? So these bad Muslims will be punished. If they are not stopping because they are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will stop because they are afraid of the qisas or killing or cutting. So the society will be clean. You cannot find this anywhere in the world. Only in Islam. So this is another sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran Sunnah. The sign of the social legislation. And our side of legislation on the case of social life. How to treat people, how a man and a woman can live. How the woman in the Islamic system will be saved and served. If she is a mother, she will be saved and served by her children. If she is a wife, the husband is responsible not only to save her, but also to feed her. She is not supposed to work. In Islamic law, he is supposed to bring money and pay for her needs. Now look at the West. They are crying for such a life. They cannot. The daughter, the sister, if the lady is, there is a full responsibility for her father or her brother or her son to take care of her. As one American said to one of Saudi ladies, when she knew about this system, she said, "Wallahi, you are a queen. You are a queen." Because she's living in the house, doesn't have to go for work, run for money. She's sitting in the house, taking care of the house, huh? Taking care of her children, which is also a beloved thing, right? Taking care of her husband. Well, this is a fantastic way of life. They cannot reach this. They have to run from the morning. The lady jumps like the man to run to bring money because she has to pay half and half on the rent of the apartment or flat. Right? Right. But if they want to make them the same, as they say they want to make equalness on, why don't they ask the man to have a pregnancy also? This is equality. You want to make equal? Why the woman do the same, doing the job of the man also, the same way, she paying the half of this? This the man should also take some responsibility. He should have a pregnancy one year, and she should have another year. Unbelievable. So that's why these people in the West or in the East, they are poor. They cannot find the right way to live. While in Islam, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave us the system without our efforts or talents. It's clear system. Just all we have to do is practice in our life, then we will be happy. These signs of Quran and Sunnah is the second type of the signs that we know Allah by them. When you know this system, as a social life as an example, when you see it this way, you will know that the one who made it is the one who knows everything about the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a sign about Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We direct us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We tell us that Allah is the one who made this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best. The one who made this great system is also great, but He is the greatest. Clear, brothers, the two signs?
The word Lord means the one who is worshipped. The evidence for this is saying of Allah, which means, O mankind, worship your Lord, Allah, who created you and those who were before you, so that you may become fire, who has made the earth a resting place for you, and the sky as a canopy, and sent down water from sky, and brought forth therewith food as provision for you. Then don't set up rivals unto Allah, while you know that He alone has the right to be worshipped. Al-Baqarah 21:2. Imam Ibn Kathir, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, the one who created these creations is the one who has the right to be worshipped.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this point, in this ayah, He's showing us that who is really deserved to be worshipped? The one who have created earth and heavens and given us the water and this food, this plant, is he the one to be deserved to be worshipped, or anyone else who is just forcing us to be in the wrong track, he is deserved to be worshipped? Yani, when we study this ayah, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is taking the side of rububiyyah to prove the side of uluhiyyah. He's proving that he deserves only to be, he is only one deserves to be worshipped by proving that by showing how he created everything. So if he is the creator of everything, then he is the only one to be deserved to be worshipped. The only one deserves to be worshipped. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم. Why? Allah is only asked to worship them. Why? Someone ask why? الذي خلقكم, the one who created you. والذين من قبلكم, the people before you. لعلكم تتقون. الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا. He made earth for you simple, easy to walk on. والسماء بناء, covering you. You can see this sun, the sky. This. All of these are created for what? Created for us to make us free for His worship. So He made things for us to make us free for Him. Why are we getting busy for things that he already guaranteed for us and forget what he told us to do? Now, there are two things in this life, just to explain this point also. Allah guaranteed things for us and he told us to do something, or he ordered us to do something. Okay? He guaranteed rizq for us, providing. He guaranteed life. He guaranteed this. While he told us to get busy with his worshipping. Unfortunately, people, including some Muslims, they get busy with the guaranteed thing and they forget what they are told to do. So, Allah guaranteed rizq. Some people, they go from wrong area to the other wrong area and say, okay, then if it's guaranteed, I'll stay at home and wait for the sky to send me some gold. No, this is not the way. This is not what we are told in Holy Quran and Sunnah. We are told to look for food, to look for rizq, but not to get too busy with it. To get busy with what? With these things instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. No problem. You can go and work, but don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you are working, you can make this part of ibadah or ta'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qurbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are going to work to gain money. Yes, but even this going to money, even though it's work, if you make it with the two conditions for any ibadah, it will be worshipping inshaAllah. And accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are they? Only for Allah, only the way of Rasulullah. If niyyah or intention is good on that job you are doing, and you are doing it the way Muhammad has told you to do, yani there is no cheating, no working in haram, then you are doing ibadah, even you are working in computer. Some people say, computer, what does computer have to do with ibadah? Even when you are working in Word or Excel or PowerPoint or whatever, still you are doing this with good niyyah and correct way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no cheating, then you are doing ibadah. Put this in mind. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all these things for us to make us free for Him to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are busy with these things and forgetting what He told us to do, then we are a loser. We are losers. As I told us in Surah Al-Asr. I think we should stop in here or should we go?
All acts of worship which Allah commanded people to perform should be purely, sincerely and exclusively for Allah. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means, and the mosque and the masjid are for Allah. So invoke not anyone along with Allah. Surah ayat number 8.
This is another topic actually to start with. The case of acts. Acts in here actually are three types. Remember this, brothers. It's very important to remember. Acts here are three types. The acts of heart, the acts of tongue, the acts of body. Clear, brothers? Three acts. The acts of the heart, the acts of the tongue, the acts of the body. Acts, or can call them worshipping. So we are worshipping Allah by heart, by tongue, by body. Let's give a good example. In Salah. In Salah it contains all these three acts, or three worshipping. Intention and sincerely, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is by what? By the tongue? No, by the heart. طيب. Saying Allahu Akbar, reciting Al-Fatiha and other surah and Subhanahu Rabbiyal Azeem and so on, by what? By tongue. So this is another worshipping. طيب, moving for ruku' and sujood. By what? By the body. So in Salah we are doing all these three worshipping types. By heart, by tongue, and by body. So worshipping actually are divided into these three things. And it's also, all of them are needed and must. But which one is the best? Which one is the most important actually? By heart. Why? Because by heart, it will change the thing from ibadah to hypocrisy. Will change ibadah to another ibadah. Will change ibadah to sins. So, two guys are playing football. You don't play football, cricket, huh? Whatever. Two guys are playing football, an example. Okay? One of them is making ta'ah, or qurbah, or ibadah. The other one is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, they are praying in the same place and same way. How is this? This person who has an intention inside to make his body strong for what? For salah, for ibadah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the same time, he is not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by showing his size or saying bad words among playing, because unfortunately people who play, they make a lot of cursing and bad words, right? Huh? But this person, his intention is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his body strong for ibadah, and he is also sticking to the time so he will not lose salah, and he's not saying bad words, and he's not showing his haram areas like thighs and so on, then this guy is making ibadah or worshipping. The other guy, he's making his body strong also, but his intention here is to wish to make girls look at him, to be attractive to girls. Huh? To be, then the intention here changed the whole thing. As Muhammad told us in the hadith, that two guys are praying in the same line, and between their two salah, like what the sky and earth. The difference between their two salah, like what between earth and sky and earth. Why? Because one guy, he's praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with khushu', with complete, trying to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his salah, he told us in the hadith of Bukhari, صَلُّوا كَمَ رَأَيْتُمُنِي أُصَلِّي. Now he is, this guy is, inshallah, like in the sky. The other guy is praying just because the society will not tell him you're not to pray. So he's not praying for Allah, he's praying just to be saved from being punished by mutawwa. What's the difference? They are praying behind the same imam, doing the same ruku' and sujood and everything. What's the difference in here? The difference is the intention. That's why to remember the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, and Uman ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, he said in the end of the hadith, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. يعني the meaning of this hadith, or the part of the hadith, the meaning of the part of the hadith is that in the heart there is a small piece of meat. If it is okay, the whole body will be okay. If it is bad, the whole body will be bad. So this is the leader. The heart is the leader of all the body. If he's doing the good intention, then the whole body will follow him. If he's doing the bad intention, the whole body will. يعني, do you think, have you ever heard that the hand will say, no, I will not do this? Or a leg will refuse? Or a foot refuse to walk or move? They are only led by the heart. As Ibn Qayyim said, that the heart is the king of the body. So they cannot, and the body is the soldiers of the heart. They are doing what he's telling them to do. That's the importance of the case of the actions of the heart. Heart is very important, we have to study it and talk about a lot. We're not talking about the piece of meat in here actually. We're talking about the heart which is mentioned in the whole Quran and Sunnah, that which is leading the whole body. We have to take care of this heart to make it in the right track. Then the whole body will follow. That's why, يعني, this heart will lead the body to Jannah or to Hellfire. If the heart is good, clean, loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hates the kafirin, he will lead the body to make jihad. Have you seen any person leaving his heart in Saudi Arabia and going to Afghanistan for jihad? Because the hand rejected to go with him? That cannot be. That cannot be. So the body is leading the person to, and leading the body, I'm sorry, the heart is leading the body even to the things that he hates. Jihad is hated by the people. كتب عليكم القتال وهو كره لكم. So it's still, it is a farz on us. So if the person is his heart is loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loves Islam and loves Muslims and he hates kafirin and he wants to fight them and kill the kafirin and save Muslims, that the heart is doing this. Then he will lead the whole body to go for jihad. If the heart is loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he wants to obey him, he will lead the whole body to go for salah. If the heart is not good, the heart is bad, he will lead the body to sleep and leave salah. When he wake up in the morning and the time of salah and fajr, ah, wallahi shaykh, I'm tired, I haven't slept good last night, let me have a nap. Just a minute. Then he sleep and forget salah. And he wake up at 7:30 and he makes salah. This salah is rejected. This salah is rejected. So, when we talk about the acts of the heart, we are supposed really to think of it clearly and concentrate on it and emphasize on it about it, because it's very important to clean up this heart to make it really love Allah, love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and hate the kafirin, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the rest of things are easy. rest of things are easy. And as we said, if the heart worships, also the body worships, also the tongue worships. As the heart do bad, the heart do bad or does bad, also the tongue does bad, also the body does bad. So we depend on these three things to make our life the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us, the way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us to do, with these two conditions, for Allah only and the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only, then we will be in the right track insha'Allah. I think we should stop in here because time is almost over and we don't want to take so much time. JazakAllah khair. If you have any questions, we can talk about it.
Kindly ask the question related to the subject, and apart from subject, we can ask outside.
Yes, that's my question. No questions means khalas, not as clear, huh? Alhamdulillah. 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 Or maybe you are tired of.
There's a question. The people usually, some people say that Allah is everywhere.
Okay. Allah? Where is Allah? طيب, we are not supposed to say anything unless that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told us to do. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, one Sahabi had a slave, lady slave. Okay? And he wanted to free her. So he brought her to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to free this lady. So Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he asked her, where is Allah? She said, in the sky. So he asked her, who am I? She said, you are Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said to the Sahabi, free her, she is a Muslim. She is a believer. So we have to remember that hadith is clear and correct and authentic, of course. Do we need to go and say, no, Allah is everywhere? The hadith is clear. It's saying that Allah is there in the sky. And Allah, even the Holy Quran said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Where is the Arsh? On top of the seventh sky. طيب, where is he now? طيب, if we, Allah is everywhere, then I will say, Ya Allah, can I say my head like this, Ya Allah? Because Allah, Ya Allah, he's everywhere? Cannot be. We all say, Ya Allah. Why do we say, I like to say, Ya Allah? Because he's there, in the top. Also, if we say Allah is everywhere, then, A'udhu Billah, Allah will be in the bathroom. Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Allah will be in dirty places? Astaghfirullah. So Allah, deem above all this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is in the top. Allah in the sky. As he told us, Ar-Rahman wa ala arsh istawa. And as Muhammad told us in the hadith, just we said a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Is there really a chair? No. Kursi in Arabic doesn't mean a chair usually. It means, listen to me this. But as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said in the hadith, Al-Kursi mawza'a qadamay al-Rabb. Yani the place of the two foot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What is feet?
Huh?
What is feet?
What's that?
What is feet?
Feet. Ah, he has a feet, but not like our feet. How are they? We don't know. How in here do not ask about the names and qualities of Allah Ta'ala, never ask how. But we believe that he has a feet. How are they? We don't know. He told us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has a feet. He has hands, he has eyes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in that. We do not say like this or like that or not like this or that. We don't say this. We believe, as Allah told us in the Holy Quran, didn't he say, subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuriduna wajha? So, he has a face, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And easily for us, as we said, we have to remember that the ant has a face, the elephant has a face, the dog has a face, the monkey has a face. Are they the same? They are not the same, although they are all creatures. So, what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He has a face, but not like us. A face that is good for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, only. So, when we say foot and feet, that mentioned in another hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give hellfire, more people, and he asked her, do you want some more? She said, yes, I want some more. Then he put his feet, subhanahu wa ta'ala, into the hellfire. She said, khalas, finish. That hadith, authentic hadith. Authentic hadith. Now those people who are afraid, that if we say such a thing, then we'll say that Allah looks like the others, or the human beings or creatures. So they said, no. Hand here means ni'mah, grace. Subhanallah, or power. Faith is, why you twist? Why twist the ayah and the hadith? Take it as it is. Allah said this, alhamdulillah. Muhammad said this, we take it as it is. But we have an ayah which is really driving us correct way on the case of names and qualities, that لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing like him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his faith, not like the other faith. His hands, not like their hands. Whatever described, whatever name or described of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran, or the tradition of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believe in it, but we believe also that nothing like Him.
Changes in the figurative sense, like in the
talk
about energy, that there's a piece of leaf.
Hmm?
It doesn't mean there's a piece of leaf. It means something inside.
No, it means you have.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala faith made in the figurative sense.
Wait a second. The case of meat, the heart that Muhammad is talking about is the heart which is in the chest. And it is the place or the center of emotions, love, hate, belief, disbelief. And that's the mind in here, by the way. As per the Quran and Sunnah, whatever you feel, whatever in love or hate or belief or disbelief, it's in here. Not in here. Here is only using for thinking, maybe, and they have a connection between it and the heart. What's the second part of the question?
Can it be in the figurative sense, not in the physical sense, the presence of Allah, the physical attributes of Allah?
But
there are so many things mentioned in Quran. It doesn't mean the physical sense.
No, you can't. This is called ta'wil. Ta'wil. Yes, quality.
In the same way somebody can interpret it. In the Lama Sa'wil.
Yeah. Well, okay. Okay. The case of ta'wil, which is maybe in this case we are people. Sometimes they say tajri bi a'yunina in the ayah. Doesn't mean that the ship will moving is in the ayah. No. But here in Arabic, okay, ta'wil in Arabic, we have to remember that Arabs or the language of Arabic, which is Quran, descended with, is actually can be easily understood among the old Arabs that this thing does not mean what meant as all of a sudden in the beginning. No. But you cannot say this ta'wil can be also done in everywhere. Because ta'wil has conditions. One of the conditions is that it is acceptable by Arabic language. That's why we say the Shia or Rafida, when they say, Inna Allah yamurkum an tadbahu baqara. That's Aisha. Astaghfirullah. From where they get this? From their own way, because they hate Aisha radiallahu anha. They say, مرج البحرين يلتقيان ذات علي الفاطمة بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان الحسن والحسين. From where does this? This is twisting the ayat, changing the true meaning of ayat. But even in Arabic there is ta'wil. There is, if you say, as we said, the ayah تجري بأعيننا, the ship is, it doesn't mean the ship is moving among the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. So it's easy for Arabs, the true Arabs, not any Arabs, not Barha Arabs, by the way. Okay, the two Arabs who know the two Arabic, they understand that tajri bi ayunina means that Allah is taking care of it. Not the case that it moving in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah ma'a as-sabirin, what does it mean? That He is with him in the same place? No, but He is with them by His protection and taking care of.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained all of this, isn't it? We don't need to make the interpretation of the Buddha. We take it literally unless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the Sahaba say the interpretation.
Yeah, but the problem is that, this is among the Arabs in that time, especially. Now in this time, even the Arabs, nowadays, they are having problems understanding this because their language has been moved. You can see now, Arabs themselves are divided. Egyptians, they have their own language, or they say slang. Actually, this is slang. Egyptian slang, Iraqi slang, Syrian slang, Saudi slang. Even Saudi, they have different slang. Qasimi slang, Riyadh slang, Southern slang, Northern. So these are slang. Batha slang, this is new now, it's made now by some people in Batha. This is changed, new slang is made. So actually these are more slangs which is breaking the understanding of Holy Quran. That's why we have to remember that the enemies of Islam, they try to use one strong weapon, which is changing the Arabic language. So the people of Arabs, I'm not talking about the non-Arabs, the Arabs will not understand Quran and Sunnah. Because their language has been changed. They're adding new words, wrong words, this, they are using this slang. Like in Egypt, they tried to make the Egyptian slang as a language.
Let me give you an example. In a translated meaning, that the believers will see Allah on the day of judgment. Some groups, they've misinterpreted, but Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they explain But you see him like you see the moon.
Yeah, like you see. Like you see in here, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his Sahaba, thank you for this hadith. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his Sahaba that they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like they see the moon. Doesn't mean that Allah is like the moon. No. But he's giving an example how to see. The seeing in here is the same as the seeing in there, but not the seeing things is the same as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see the moon, yes. We see Allah, yes. So the seeing is the same. The action is the same. But is the moon the same as Allah? No. So this is the understanding of this. سَتَرَأَنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرْ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ لَا تُضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. Means what? That we can see, we will see Allah Ta'ala as we see the moon now. In 15 day of the Arabic month. Clear and easy. Without clouds or anything. Does that mean Allah looks like the moon? No. But it's the case of explaining the seeing in here like the seeing in there.
See, there is one more hadith where the believer will have two moments of work. One is the way the moon is up, the prophet, and he is up. And the one when he will see the physical.
Yes. Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is a big case, we may need to talk about later on, inshallah. It's a very important point also for Muslims. Because it's a very strong push for us to think that on the judgment day, when you have Jannah, inshallah, and you enjoy Jannah, still you are going to have extra. Ziyadah. Ziyadah is what? Ziyadah is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this good chance. Finished, brothers? Any questions? Right. Jazakum Allah khair. We conclude this tonight. Jazakum Allah khair. We'll see you, inshallah, next week.